go either way.
Cool. I need to get the same. You've got a very good bass.
My radio voice.
Do you change when you?
No. Clothes. I do change clothes before I do radio. That's I always put on my podcasting clothes.
Kevin and I.
Yeah, and I also am sick right now, so I think that's part of it.
Well, like, you get a real good.
I got something going on in my nose and my throat.
That sounds
good. A few weeks ago, I sat down with Kevin Burrows, Matt Miter,
co-creator,
and Sean Conroy,
non-creator of Gentlemen Lobsters.
What do you do with Gentlemen Lobsters?
I am the shepherd, and these are my sheep.
Sounds like an official title.
I guess I was the head writer of the show.
And the reason we got together was to record a commentary track for the first episode of season 2 of Gentlemen Lobsters on CISO. And we're going to get to that eventually, but first we talked a little bit about how the show came to be. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven.
So I don't know who wants to start.
Yeah, I'll start with how the show came to be.
Sean, how did you come up with
that? I have no idea.
So Matt and I created this show about Garrett and Quinn, two 20-something lobsters struggling through the modern world. And we did a couple seasons of web shorts for GQ, for their website, for their YouTube channel. Then we wrote a pilot. Kind of, we went off on our own and we're like, oh yeah, we want to write a pilot. Like, we want this to be bigger.
Yeah, there was a break between our first and second season at GQ. And so we had a gap of like, well, are we getting picked up again? Are we not? So we're like, fuck it, let's just write a pilot, a 30-minute
version. I like that you guys had this idea and you went right for the glossy magazine market.
Yeah.
Well, so Kevin wrote a book called Fuck Yeah Menswear, and he was like a menswear blogger.
Yeah.
And which so is weird, because if you see him, you're like, what the fuck is he wearing?
I think blogger is the... I was never in public. Oh. It was all, like, in my boxers. Blogging.
Yeah, I love... Yeah.
In your mother's basement?
Yeah.
That's how you were connected to the GQ world.
The world of mentor, yes. So I had some credibility. And so then that's how our buddy Tony Hernandez, producer... asked us to pitch, because he's like, hey, you know menswear, you know animation,
huge fan of
GQ,
yeah,
wants to do something.
Yeah, they want to do something. Yeah,
yeah. So we, like, Kevin came up with the character designs. Mm-hmm. You essentially came up with the kind of the whole thing, and then you like the characters. Mm-hmm. Right, and then
we pitched it over. Yeah,
yeah. So we like sent the Bible into GQ.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible. You really went
religion. We made like they were like, what's all this Jesus
Please
stuff?
Read Ecclesiastes 16:4.
You didn't even pull out the verses you wanted them to read. You sent them a Bible and with a set of instructions of where to start.
Folks, if you don't know show business, the Bible of a show.
Here are 365 daily verses.
Yeah, it's an archaic process. You must hand them a Bible. And then once they've read your Bible...
We swear the show is going to be good.
Well, how did you come up with the whole world? I know there was like a typo involved.
So the typo story is we come up with Garrett and Quinn, and there were these lovable losers. And the idea was, I guess in my head, they were originally humans. But then I was chatting with some friend online, and he...
Was it a G-chat?
It was a G-chat. Mm-hmm. It was a G-chat.
Gangster chat?
Yeah.
Not in line.
Online.
Because inline's not a thing.
That's a big argument we have in the room.
Deep inside joke.
It's a big...
Online versus inline.
Skates.
And New Yorkers, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He then, a couple days later, was like, dude, I love your animal show idea. It's so funny. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, the lovable lobsters. Because I guess he was G-chatting on his phone, wasted at a bar in New York. And immediately once I heard lobsters, I'm like, oh, this is way better.
So did you type?
He thought losers said lobsters.
He thought losers said
so
lobsters.
So you didn't, I always thought you typed.
No, I wrote lovable losers, but he just read it as lobsters.
But yeah, when you saw that he said lovable lobsters, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is what it needs
to be. Yeah, this is immediately much more fun. Yeah.
And then so Kevin, he did the designs and we like kind of hammered out the characters together, sent it into GQ. in a pitch doc Bible. And they were just like, this is, what are you talking about? Absolutely not. This makes no sense. So we like essentially that weekend, we were just like, okay, we're going to like make a 60-second like pilot and send it to them. So we did that. Kevin came over on Saturday and we like wrote a script, recorded, edited the whole thing together, and then sent it to them on Monday. And it was like the quickest turnaround. It was so dumb because they were just like, absolutely, this is fantastic.
We showed it in our staff meeting. This is great.
We were like, on Friday, you thought we were maniacs.
So then what was it like going from the short form to the long form season?
That was where Sean came in. And we were very excited because we were very confident that we could do jokes and silly lobster stuff. But in terms of crafting a show, crafting a season, telling, you know, very tightly constructed stories, we were very stoked to have Sean as our mentor. Stoked.
How did you, like, how did you all meet? Bro.
Well, I had run a show for a place called Hot House Productions, a show called Mr. Pickles for Adult Swim. And these guys were involved with Hot House. And so Hot House set me up with them and we just met and really, really hit it off right from day one.
We met at a weird coffee shop
that I've never been to before or since.
It was like the assistant at Hot House was like, how about this place? And we were like, sure. Like in the back of my mind, I was like, that's like such an odd choice. Yeah. Like this, it's so specific that clearly Sean must live like right there. And was
my
his choice.
Suspicion was that these guys love this place. But I'm guessing what it was whoever was in charge of this went on Yelp and was just like, what's somewhere in Los Angeles?
Was it like at the center between where both of
know.
You
I don't
work?
Not really.
Not really.
What no. was it?
It certainly wasn't convenient for me. It was on Sunset, like where the Nerdist Theater is, basically, right there.
It wasn't inconvenient, but
no, it wasn't bad. It but it wasn't like, hey, this is great. I just have to walk down the street.
Maybe the person who set it up, it's like their friend owns the place, maybe, and they're like, they're hurting for business. We need to help them out.
But I feel like while we were like meeting and having coffee, like we all realized that, like,
what the fuck are we doing?
Why are we?
That's exactly what happened. So you guys love this place, huh?
Yeah.
We're like, no.
I've never been here before.
You live down the street, and you're like, no, not close.
Not even close, yeah. So we talked, and it seemed like everything was okay, and then we just started doing the show.
Cool. And so how does it work in the room? Like, how do you break stories? Can you talk about that experience a little bit, maybe?
Nope.
I think trade secret?
Pass on that?
I don't know. I mean, we just, somebody says, what if we do a story about this? And then we try to come up with a way that it is interesting and a funny version of the story and a story that maybe is, to me, what's always important is if it's a little surprising where the story goes. It's not like, oh, this is just like this other thing I've seen before. Right. And so we just talk. It's literally just sitting and talking about the idea for a long period of time. And in the midst of that talking, while you're working on the story, you come up with jokes that hopefully will make it into the script.
Yeah.
And is that fair?
I'm remembering that we brought a bunch of ideas in, and I'm trying to think of what made it, because you really helped filter out, like, this is super funny, but like this is a joke, right? Or like, this is great, let's like pin this and and actually try to
or it works as
out.
A 60 second web it, series.
Exactly. This would be a cold open or but it doesn't quite work
or
as
the
a
beginning
full
of a story or whatever.
And it's crazy because that's like literally close to exactly a year ago today, which is nuts.
That's why I actually brought you here. I have a special announcement.
What?
I'm dying of cancer.
He has a 3-month-old baby.
I thought I would tell you on the year anniversary of your meeting. You're the three most important people in my life. I don't have any friends.
But I think that's something you don't really get to until you sit down to actually write a show. Like, you have a billion hilarious ideas, but it takes actually sitting down to write the show to understand what works as a story and what doesn't work as a story. What's a sketch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's a joke and what's something we can get a little more in depth with.
And I think what's so crazy for me is that, like, I don't know, like, before the show, I thought that I, like, had a very good grasp on that. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, man, like, I didn't really know what I was doing. Right. Not that I am, like, a pro now, but, like, I know a lot more.
It's a skill. It's a thing you learn over time, you know? I mean, we all watch a million TV shows and a million movies, but until you sit down and actually analyze them and really go, okay, how would I take this in a different direction? How am I going to surprise people at this point? I don't think you really, I mean, obviously some people are naturally gifted at it, but I think for most people, it's a thing you have to learn over time by doing it.
Yeah. Were the two of you, was it just the two of you writing it when you were at GQ, or did you have a team of people helping?
It was just us. So we did everything. So we wrote it, were the voices. We had fun. We'd usually have one to two guest star voices an episode. And then we do all the animation as well. So I do all the art, Matt edits and animates. Yeah.
So what was it like switching over to working with a bigger team?
It was really fun.
Was there anything like that you, did you feel like sacred about anything? Was it hard to let go of certain things, or was it just great to jump in and start collaborating?
Mostly very fun. A lot of, with the artists in particular, making them draw things shittier to match my style. I'm like, why are you shading? Like, there's no shading. There's no shadows. Like, this needs to look real, real
this
crappy.
This is 2D, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, getting some.
What is with the chiaroscuro?
People, like, just way overthinking their, what's it called when they, like, a pencil test?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We, yeah, when we were, like, interviewing people, or they would send in their, like, a pencil test. And it was like, this character's moving way too much.
What is a pencil test?
It's like if you're hiring an animator,
you have to draw a turtle.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. you usually do like some short piece of animation with the characters or like in the style or tone of the show.
Drawn in pencil. Was that
I think originally, yes. But now digital.
Back when the seven old men at Disney drew
the nine old men.
Was it nine? I thought it was seven.
Cool. So we're about to watch the first episode of season two. We're going to talk over it.
Okay, so now you should probably pause the podcast here and get episode one of season two of Gentlemen Lobsters set up and ready to go. If for some reason you don't have a CISA subscription, you can actually find this first episode on YouTube at youtube.com/CISOTV. And in a second, I'm going to let you know when to hit play, so it should sync up perfectly. Hopefully. I've never done this before.
All right, we're starting season two, episode one, right now.
CISO, what a great name.
Great CISO logo right there.
Mm-hmm. Gare! Oh my god, Gare, I've done it.
You finally bought your own bath towels?
Better, bro.
You got a job and you can
sounds
start
just like
rent.
You.
So I just want to point out that there is a poster in the background that says Garrett Lobster on it, and that's because we decided that there would be a professional tennis player in the world who was a human whose name was Garrett Lobster.
We had every intention of trying to get him into the episode.
It just never happened.
We couldn't fit him in. It's a season four thing, probably.
A digital sorcerer. But that's one of the fun things about doing something like this is that you come up with these little things that recur over time.
And then pay off later.
Yeah.
That digital sorcerer, was that a term that you guys came up with, or is that something you found in writing? Do you know?
So there's a guy named Shingy who's he calls himself
digital prophet.
And that's kind of what we're making fun of.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and go look up a video of Shingy.
It's amazing.
He's incredible. But that's where we came up with digital sorcerer.
6 month anniversary.
Nice. Oh God, Garrett, wait, was that not a joke?
Also, that photo behind Garrett's shoulder is from Kevin's lookbook for his clothing line.
Oh yeah, the Windmill Club.
The Windmill Club. Go get yourself a tea.
Were any of these DVD covers real?
I don't think so. I don't know. They might be inspired by.
The
I think
third
it's like
one
the
down
color.
Is actually Anal Intruders 8.
You're pretty sure she'd give it another shot. It's a great one.
One of my favorite, you know, there's a lot of things I love about this show. One of my favorite things is how pathetic Garrett is.
He's the most pathetic person.
The saddest guy who's still in love with Shell and is never going to get her back. Or maybe he will, but he's going to try no matter what.
Any story behind the theme song?
Oh, yeah.
I really like it.
This is my buddy, his producing handle is Beats by Ned. And he just makes incredible beats. He's now in music management, managing awesome artists.
You get organics and I'll get non-organics.
It was very important for us to work in the, what's that thing called that he's on?
The Swagway.
Swagway. The Swagway came up over and over and over again in the room because it was right when Swagways were becoming
the height of popularity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like really concerned that, I think a big concern was like, how are we going to animate this?
Yeah.
Is this possible?
Yeah, because you never see people walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of pop around.
And just to give you a preview, the end of this particular scene is so dumb and makes me laugh so hard every time because it's just classic slapstick.
Classic comedy.
Yeah.
Pratfalls.
Wait, are you still keeping track of our anniversaries?
Who's next?
I think I am. I like your headphones.
Thanks. Won these cans last week. At a
also trying to get him to brush the
Hair
out of his eyes.
Get ready.
This was a... Oh my God, that was huge. That cost so much money for us.
On Sunday nooners, the man just lets me post up in different sections of the store and spin. This week...
I mean, as much as you sort of self-deprecatingly make fun of the animation, like, it doesn't seem like... low budget or whatever the appropriate word would be, like it feels like a deliberate choice.
Yeah, I think that was the in the production and going to the larger format on CISO. I think we really wanted to focus on like really leaning into that style and the fun you can have with it of popping from pose to pose. Like a lot of jokes punch a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely wanted to like embrace it, and I do think it. There's that pratfall.
There it is.
That's not funny if it's full-blown animation.
This party could not be going any better.
This scene was... I'm sure there's, like, artifacts somewhere in the background, but it was, like, a nightmare to clean up the backgrounds on all these.
Because the other thing is, this was the first episode through production, so we were figuring everything out, figuring out the staging and kind of how to place the characters to get enough depth.
I was gone by that time, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, Sean would pop back in and be like, hey, this looks cool. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah. We're dying. I wouldn't be surprised if we found something wrong here.
Wait, how is he going to be over it?
I know that you're super weird and think all of her little ailments are cute.
There's nothing more adorable than sitting down with the woman you love for her weekly mole check.
But like,
see, that's so fucked up. That's so codependent.
Hashtag bicep mindset, am I right?
Who did your Photoshop? Fire them.
That character was so, I mean, it's so funny there, but it was also one of our favorite things in the room. Ben Smith would always, the other writer would always do that guy, and it was fucking hilarious every time. Just a snarky rhinoceros.
I noticed in the background too, you had the llama. Was that inspired from the emo llama meme at all?
I don't know. We didn't do one of our. I think Wyatt did that character design.
Yeah, we had. Some yeah, Wyatt was our character designer. He was awesome for the first half, and then he went somewhere to make more money.
And then he was horrible the second half.
No, we just lost him. Yeah,
he had a stroke and had to start drawing with his left hand.
Yeah.
So, Shell, is your celiac disease still a big part of your life?
Booyah! Sup, peeps? It's Quinn on the mic, Obvi. I want to thank everyone for coming.
This is such a big night for me. Blocking this was so difficult for us. Again, going back to like this was the first one we did. And it was like trying to figure out that photo.
Did you guys throw around different cat ailments, or was it that from the beginning?
I think we did throw around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we... I have really influenced him over. I love this screensaver.
Yeah.
My roommate, My BFF.
That was something that one of our artists
just like surprised us with, and it's so funny.
Shell, you want to go outside and look at the moon?
Ooh, sounds like a fun idea for the three of us.
So pathetic. so pathetic in a hilarious way. And also, I would say one of the things I love about this show is that it really is about the friendship between these two guys and how they will ultimately do anything for each other, even though they make fun of each other and are nasty to each other and know each other's flaws. They're best friends.
Yeah. Was it hard finding that balance of like how much do they make fun of each other and how much do they like help? Because I didn't want it to feel too much like enemies or frenemies.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what. I think the moment that we were trying to drive to at the end of this episode was like kind of key to set up that dynamic that like the, Quinn's going to shit all over Garrett, but at the end of the day, he, you know, they love each other.
Yeah. And to be fair, Garrett is going to shit all over Quinn.
Yeah.
He's the one who starts the whole roast idea.
Exactly.
Did I do that?
Yeah. Also, David John played all of those. So one guy played the turtle, the rhinoceros, and the llama. And he was so funny.
How do you decide when people are humans or versus animals?
I think it's like instinct and just kind of, I guess, a balance thing of like, okay, it feels like we've had a human, like let's go back to an animal, or we've had a mammal, let's go.
It bugged the shit out of some of the executives because they were like, oh, so it's okay for a human to have sex with a this, but not a this to have a sex with a this. Like, they just could not wrap their minds around it.
Yeah, and everybody, we loved that we wrote this character is Lauren Lapkus, and we wrote her name as Cat, knowing that everyone was going to be like, oh, shit, so she's going to be a cat? And we're just like, no.
This, yeah, and her character also was such a big deal over the course of developing the show during the season because the people at CISO were dying for us to have a female friend for these guys. And so when we finally landed on this, it worked out great.
Yeah.
What kind of diseases?
Jeez, where to begin? Scoliosis, celiac, larynx reflux, tainted bone marrow, vitamin deficiencies that make it so her head is as soft as a baby's. She literally has a fontanelle.
I love any show that gets the word fontanelle in.
That was a big, like, we were all really stoked about that.
It sounds just, if you can disassociate it, it sounds like such a beautiful thing. Right.
It sounds like pasta. I feel like that's how we talked about it in the room.
Yeah.
Like we made that joke in the room.
I'll take the fontanelle Alfredo.
Can I get the fontanelle puttanesca?
I also love the turtle design where he's wearing a suit.
Yes, I like that too.
It's insane.
Not saying anything, and I haven't seen him since. It was really rude.
Yeah, he seems really rude. The good news.
Also,
is,
Noelle Wells is just hysterical as
so
Shell.
Funny.
Yeah.
And you always said, "Enough with the gifts. You're smothering me."
And
with
a nice person.
Yeah.
This is something I think.
Which is not always true.
Excited about. Just take it as a friend.
And also, Kelsey, the DJ character, is a guy named Malcolm Barrett, who's also just hilarious.
I found it. It has the one where Frasier and Lilith get back together.
Were there any other ideas of shows, or was it always Frasier?
So, Frasier was a reference to our very first, episode?
Yeah, I think what we wrote as the first but ended up airing as the second of the GQ web series that Shell had left a DVD box set, and he had returned it in that episode.
Sorry, I ignored you earlier.
That's okay. And he offers to give it back to her in that episode. Or no, wait.
He returned the box that was missing disc 7.
Yeah. So he's finally returning it here.
No. Deep cut.
Did it feel good to pay that off? Oh, yeah.
It did, actually, yeah.
Also, an homage to one of the great sitcoms.
Incredible.
Yes.
One of the best. Now, do you think you have to watch Cheers before you watch Frasier?
I don't think you do.
I don't think so.
Yeah, as a child, I don't think I understood that Cheers existed before Frasier.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind when I found out that.
Yeah. I just watched through Cheers this past year from start to finish. I like that we're talking about now other shows on top of your
Cheers.
Have you seen Star Trek Next Generation? It's really good.
That new Force Awakens trailer.
This roast is getting out of hand. Your boss just said Quinn's a bottom feeder. I guess that explains why he sucks so much ass. Hey-o.
It was fun to write roast jokes.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun.
Bad, but I'm not a good enough friend to stop it. It's
especially trying to gear them towards lobsters.
Quinn's live journal. Pull up some of that old shit.
Quinn! Looks like what would happen if a cockroach fucked a big pile.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Of shit.
So that's where we would have cut to Lisa.
Yeah. And Snoop Dogg.
And Snoop Dogg.
Yes, don't stop.
Quinn's so ugly that kids think.
Love that vulnerable Quinn pose there.
Yeah.
September 9th.
Hey, all right, guys.
That is one of my favorite jokes because it's so weird and abstract.
Kevin hates that joke.
He wanted me to say.
I don't hate it. I just think
it's not funny.
It's not. It's an anti-joke.
Yeah. No, I think we talked about on the last one how much thought you put into their clothing. Oh yeah. Is there are these like specific brands or styles that you're trying to, or is it just more of a general look?
I think there are definitely archetypes. So Garrett is he wears the kind of new Italian soft shoulder tailoring, a lot of Tom Brown.
Now made famous by American neo-Nazis.
And then Quinn's your total hype beast with his Saint Laurent varsity jacket. And...
Yeah, that's a weird thing about the fact that we were in the writer's room every day, and it wasn't that long ago, and we didn't come in every day steaming about that fucking asshole who's going to be our president next month.
This is an artifact made in a time.
Yeah. We didn't even think about it.
Of peace.
Was he even running then?
I guess he was, that piece of shit.
I mean, it was definitely not a serious thing at that point.
And
nothing, bro. Nothing at this all. Is one of my favorite things.
Once we get this clean... I'm kidding. It's the Frasier DVD. I found it on the
ground. He just totally shits all over Garrett.
So funny.
You think he's going to be a good friend. It's just like,
and that wasn't, we had a different ending originally. He found the lit. Oh, he says something, right? Wasn't it that he read a piece?
Yeah, he would read one of Lewis's roast jokes.
And it was just like, it wasn't even a joke. It was like, fuck you, fuck you, Quinn, or something like that. And it would turn out to be one of Lewis's roast jokes.
Yeah.
But this one is so much better and so funny.
Yeah, we kind of found that in the edit.
Yeah, when then we like went out for coffee one day and we're like pitching on what would be the
trying to
bigger
punch,
punch
it up, because I guess even after we were always trying to,
you can always do more.
Yeah.
Nothing is perfect.
What's great about animation is you have the time, and especially with us as the voices, very easy to hop back in the booth and add lines or do pickups.
Yeah, but
and when Kevin says hop back, these guys literally would hop around the office just to get in the mindset of animals.
and to match their animation style.
Which was
and
weird.
To just create like a fun office environment.
Yeah.
You know, we made everyone hop.
Potato sack races. hopscotch.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Why else do you?
Three-legged race. Okay.
Jump rope.
But that was also...
One-legged people.
there was... I don't know. There was a lawsuit about that.
I like how you bailed on that
and
went for it, and you should have stayed bailed.
I also like that Kevin is drinking out of a child's to-go cup from like a Denny's.
Yeah, this is, it's really good.
It's not really. Visual jokes on a podcast that aren't very good.
But one thing to add on with getting to like rewrite stuff is I feel like it was like equally a gift and a trap, and that there's endless possibilities, but you can like really fuck yourself up. Like, you just don't have time. It's like going in, you're like, well, we can just kind of change that when we get some time, and you're like, oh, that like we don't have that time.
I think having really tight scripts before going to production was really helpful. I think I remember a couple times going back and reading the script after we had been in the edit and, you know, built the like rough animation and be like, oh, we wrote this joke down. Like this was already here. We just like forgot it because we went too far away and just need to come back to it.
And the thing I was going to say is that I feel like it's different jokes in the middle of the episode versus the ending of the episode where, sure, you can change stuff in the middle, but it's like you're switching, you know, one thing that's funny for another thing that's funny, but sometimes you need to see the whole thing to go, oh, here's a thing from earlier that we can use at the end of the episode.
Right. Like, finding the DVD thing. Of like,
so it's not just in the script. It's like you actually have to see it in front of you, you know?
Cool. Well, any final thoughts?
Oh, we're not going to binge the whole. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine.
Go watch the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, go binge. Have fun.
It's a really, I mean, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I do think it's a really, really fun show and funny, enjoyable.
Is it fun or funny?
It's one or the other.
It puts the fun both. In funny.
It's not both. It puts the E in funny.
Hope you enjoyed that. If you're curious about Gentlemen Lobsters, you can...
Yeah, go to CISO.com, yeah, or get the app.
Get your credit cards out.
Yeah.
Sign up. You get 2 months free.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for listening to the show. See you next time.